So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time.
Just remember, when you're standing in the valley, take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard. Victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you. And he will take you through the fire again, again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you been through the fire? Oh, we all have, haven't we? But he always shows up right on time. We're thankful for that. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And we are looking forward to the service today. I hope that you are as well. And I know that we have some folks that are visiting with us today, and we just want to say thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship here today. Praise the Lord. Brother Allen, your wife, it's great to see you all again back here with us this morning. And thank you for visiting with us. And it is great to have Miss Glenda back in the house of the Lord this morning. And our hearts are encouraged this morning to have Ceylon and Miss Catherine in the house with us today and all that they've gone through. But we just praise the Lord. We lift you guys up in prayer. We love y'all. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we're thankful for that. But you continue to pray for them. And we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service this morning. And then we'll all sing together here in just a few moments. Brother Brian, would you take us, Lord, this morning in a word of prayer? Praise the Lord. If you will, church, stand, join the choir as we sing this morning. Turn over to page number 139, and let's sing together at Calvary. Everyone sing now.
Years has been in vanity and pride.
Here, not my heart, just to
see. I know that God, it was for me, and for Calvary.
fire. You can be seated. Again, it's great to see you here in the house of the Lord today. Please remember that on September the 6th, on that Sunday morning, it's homecoming here at Calvary. You'll need to go ahead and mark that in your calendars. And we are looking so forward to that. It'll be a great day. Second Coming is going to be here with us. Dr. Harris is going to be here with us.
Leah.
Well, flyers in the front, in the back, and you'll find that on the website as well. But please, please make it a point to go ahead and mark that in your calendars. You'll want to be here. We'll have service that morning starting at 10:30. We'll have no Bible study that morning, no Sunday school, and no evening service. Give you an opportunity to come and just share in a great day here at Calvary. So please, please remember that. Invite some folks, and let's fill the house of God on that homecoming on September the 6th at 10:30. Please remember that. Also, please remember this week that Miss Claudia has surgery on a Tuesday morning, bright and early Tuesday morning, isn't it, Miss Claudia? So we just want to lift her up in prayer, and we want to ask God to do something great in her life. I know that she's a little anxious, as we all would be. So just please remember her in prayer. Pray the Lord give her that peace that passes all understanding. He's able. Amen. So please remember her for Tuesday morning. Before we leave today, Miss Claudia, we're going to have a special word of prayer with you at the end of the service. And we just want to lift you up in prayer and ask God to do something great. Pray the doctors would have leadership and guidance as directed through the Lord. And we just want to lift her up. But please remember her in prayer concerning Tuesday. Also, tonight, 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall, Brother Dwayne will be having our service. No, not Dwayne. Brian's got the service tonight. All right, Brother Brian. We look forward to that. So this evening, 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Bible study and prayer meeting. Please remember that. But let's just pray that the Lord would give us a great day in the house of the Lord. Once again this morning, Brother Brian. We got Brian's all over the place this morning, don't we? But Brother Brian Haney will be bringing our message this morning, and you pray for him. And we look forward to hearing from heaven today. But, yes, one
we
more.
We also have CLU today at 3:30
downstairs. CLU 3:30. Anything else I've missed this morning? We're having church this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Yes. Dr. Harris's wife, Monday morning, surgery on her arm. So please remember that in prayer. All right. Anything? All right. Let's ask the Lord to be with us in a very special way today. Again, thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we love you and we praise you. And we come to you thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity and the desire that you've given us to be in your house today. Lord, you know what we've gone through over this past week. Many have gone through terrible storms. But God, you have been with us. You have carried them. And Lord, we are witness to the fact that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, you love us like no other. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Ceylon, Miss Catherine this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just touch them. Lord, I pray that you would love on them. Allow us, Lord, to love on them. Lord, it's what we do as a family, and we are so thankful for that. Lord, pray that you would touch them. Lord, I pray that you would encourage their hearts. And thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be with Miss Claudia and touch her. And Lord, I pray that you would just give her that peace that only you can give. Lord, I pray that you would be in this place today. Lord, I pray for the man of God that will come and preach the word of God. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would so fall on this place today that when we leave, we'll say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, maybe we could leave a little different, Lord, from when we came in. Maybe a little closer to you when we leave this place today because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, be in the COU meeting this afternoon, and Lord, all the meetings that go on through the week, Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon Calvary. Lord, we're going to praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished today. In Jesus' name, amen.
David sang the praises of the glory. John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior.
Thank you. been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. In all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. In all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. Good singing. Could give a good amen that God has been good to you. Isn't that good? Well, good morning, church. All right, good to hear from two or three of you out there. Good morning, Calvary Baptist. It's good to see all of you here. We have a host of visitors and some friends of mine. I hope y'all will get by and shake their hand off. Good to have Brother Allen and his dear wife, Esther, back with us again. And they backslid. They were on the front row last week, man. And anyway, I'm glad to see them. Good to see Brother Johnny and Miss Joyce. Good to see Brother Chris, his wife Melissa. And I know I'll miss somebody, but I'm glad to see all of you. It's a joy and an honor to be here. Brother and Sister Plemons, we have prayed for you this week. I know it hadn't been easy, but aren't you glad? There is hope beyond the grave. Amen. Well, how many of y'all still excited that you're heaven bound? Isn't that good? I want you to stand, if you're able, and take your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let me just say that you have a marvelous homecoming coming up in just a few weeks. I would love to be here. I'll be preaching down in Carrollton that particular week. But I love Dr. Gerald Harris. He's one of the greatest preachers that's ever carried a Bible into the pulpit. He is a wonderful preacher. How many of you have ever heard Gerald Harris preach? Anybody? Excellent preacher. And he'll be here, and I'm not sure about that singing group, but I'm sure they'll be outstanding as well. And I do desire your prayers. I will be preaching the next several weeks in some churches that are just like this, that are just down, and some of them that just need preaching, and they just need encouraging, some of them without a preacher. I'll be in Bowdoin next week, Whitesburg the following week. I'll be in Carrollton, and then I'll be back here in Powder Springs in about the third or fourth week of September at Temple Baptist, one of your sister churches, and we're glad to be over there. Aren't you glad we're not in competition? Can I get an amen right there? We're on the winning side, and the best is yet to come. And let me just say a few things by way of introduction. I want to commend you for your faithfulness. I've only been here a few weeks, and I'm praying for you. I know that you're in a state of decision, and but listen, the decision is God's decision. And let me just say, you have some people in place here that can lead this church. You have some good men. You've got a good preacher back there, Brother Brian. You've got some good deacons. And listen, sometimes our ways are not God's ways, and you may just have to let God do what He wants to in the church, all right? This is His church, and listen, no matter who's in the pulpit, we are to bend our ear and listen to what thus saith the Lord, because we are living in the last days, and we're about to hear the trumpet sound. I studied this morning about four or five things. I started to preach on the man the world is looking for. You understand, the world's looking for a man, some man that can lead this world. Well, there's going to be one that's going to arise. I can hear Brother Odom saying, I believe he's already on the scene. I believe he's a groomed man walking in the shadows. He is the Antichrist. And I'd love to be able to preach that sometime and just give you a glimpse at who Daniel began to describe, because there is going to be a world leader that's going to try to make sense of all the confusion and distress. And then I studied this morning in Romans 8:28. And how many have been through valleys out there? How many have had heartache? Maybe you have some hurt in your life. Well, I want to remind you, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. And I challenge you to read that this afternoon. Read that one verse and take comfort that whatever you're going through, the best is yet to come. Are you in Hebrews chapter 6? Say a good hearty amen. Amen. Notice in chapter 6 and verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Listen, church, there are times when we feel like God has forgotten us. You remember when the disciples were out on that ship and the ship was going through a storm, and the disciples said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever felt like God doesn't care? That's how the disciples felt. Maybe some of you have thought that recently. Doesn't God care for us? God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of what, church? Hope. Full assurance of hope to the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You understand that the promises we've been given, sometimes we're going to have to wait on them. Sometimes when we say, God, we want it now, God says, wait just a little longer. I know what you're thinking. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, as in 1,000 years, as one day. Well, I'm in a hurry. Amen. I'm in a hurry to do things. We live in a hurry-up society. I mean, we need microwaves that can microwave them faster. We need things to get it done faster. But church, have you not learned we have to endure and wait patiently? So whatever you're going through, remember. Notice verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. An oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, which God, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the what, church? Hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You might look back in verse number 19 and see which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Do you have an anchor of the soul? If you don't, I pray that this morning you would anchor your soul in the solid rock. Can we pray together? And can I ask you to bow your heads and bow your hearts? And whatever it is that you need from God, would you ask Him to meet that need? For we serve a God who is able. Let us pray together. Our Father, it's a joy to come to you this morning in the lovely name of Jesus. Thank you that there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you that we may sail through the problems of this life, and nighttime is full of troubles. But I'm glad that joy cometh in the morning. I know that bright and getting up morning's coming when we're going to hear that trumpet sound. That glorious morning when we're going to be caught away to enter into the glories of heaven forever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But until then, I pray you'd grant unto the church hope. I pray you'd grant unto the church faith and patience to wait upon you. God, you're the Alpha and the Omega. I pray this morning for the soul that's in danger this morning of dying lost and going to hell. I pray that you'd captivate his or her mind. May you speak to their lost soul, God, that they'd be saved forevermore. I pray for that one in the church this morning that's hungry for something. They're thirsty for God to give them a drink from that fountain of living water. I pray, oh God, would you feed the church this morning and would you stir us for revival, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. As I was reading and studying and praying about what to preach to you this morning, I come across this story that's connected to Hebrews chapter 6. It was during the days of World War II that a pastor's wife named Ruth Jones, she got distressed over the casualties of war. It was a time that we can't hardly relate to back in World War II, where America was experiencing a time of rationing. Can you imagine a time? We experienced it just a few years ago. You remember COVID? How many will ever forget COVID? How many remember going just to see if the toilet paper really was running out of the shelves there in America? I thought, boy, this is strange right here. Everybody's rushing to get toilet paper. If you grew up in the country, you knew about going out into the woods and nature. But listen, I had to go and see for myself. But it was during World War II that America was experiencing a time of rationing. Let me put it in something you relate. Can you imagine youngins going to McDonald's and they're only giving you a half a hamburger and a half a sack of fries, and they said, we don't have enough food to go around right now. It was during some distressing times that a pastor's wife by the name of Ruth, She got down on her knees and said, Lord, I just don't know how much more I can take of this. I want to remind you that when you turn to God, you've turned to the right place. God led her to Hebrews chapter 6. As she began to read about Hebrews 6, she began to read about hope. And God began to give her hope. She began to read about an anchor, and that anchor of the soul. And she sat down and she began to write a song. And she later put tune to that song. She began to write these words, in times like these, you need a Savior. You ever heard it? In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Then she wrote, this rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I'm glad we have an anchor this morning. Can I get an amen right there? You understand what an anchor is. An anchor in this world is something that keeps the ships from going off course. Well, God is talking about an anchor of the soul. I pastor the Anchor of Hope Baptist Church. They had anything but hope. They had anything but God can. They were discouraged. They were distraught. They were let down. Their pastor had fouled out. The members of the leadership had stolen from them. There was trouble in the choir. There was homosexuality. There was adultery. You name it, it was going on at that church. And that's the church that God let me go pastor as a young kid preacher. I got in there and just started preaching the gospel of John. And Brother Brian, I began watching God put out some fires, but I began watching the devil start some more fires. And you know what happens to a church that has swept things under the rug? Well, that rug gets bigger and bigger. And it comes to a point where somebody's got to deal with the troubles. Well, I'm glad today to tell you that we have an anchor of the soul. It's not anchored down there. Amen. It's anchored up there. And if you don't have that anchor of the soul, you're liable to die and go down to a devil's hell. But I'm glad that we have an anchor of the soul. It is steadfast in heaven, and it's anchoring us, and it's going to keep us from going astray. Unto Him that loved us, the Bible would say. Aren't you glad that in times like these, we don't have to be led astray by the moral perversion of our day? We don't have to be swept astray by the brainless woke crowd that is anti-God in this day. But I want to ease into this message and tell you that we have somebody that's already sailed through this wicked world and won the battle. We have someone that's already fought the devil and won. You ought to be standing up cheering right now. As if Ozzie Albies just stepped up to the plate, smacked a home run, and then the rest of them got up and hit another home run over the chop house. Listen, we get excited about ball games and football coming on. I turned on the television to watch the famous Atlanta Falcons do it again, and I said, oh dear Lord, but I'm glad that I can come to church on Sunday. Somebody help me today. I'm glad we can sing that my Redeemer lives and the goodness of God is running after me. I wish somebody would help me go to church this morning. I didn't come to the dead Baptist church. I came to the Calvary Baptist church this morning, who's alive and well. I'm glad that we have somebody that's already died for our sins, died and went down into the grave, ascended back to heaven on high, and we have an anchor in heaven that holds. Aren't you glad we're on the winning side? Amen. I've met many in Baptist churches, and they're on the whining side. Let me just say to Calvary Baptist Church, the complaint department, it's 5,000 miles that way, and if it gets overcrowded, we have another one that's 5,000 miles that way. If you have a burden, you can bring it to the Lord. Aren't we having fun this morning? How many understand what an anchor is? I love the nautical world, man. I could have just eat up the sea and been a fisherman and an anchor and all of that. But I begin to read about an anchor. You understand that an anchor is a vertical shank with two arms that are outstretched, and the purpose of an anchor is to grab hold of something down in the earth. Maybe to grab hold down into the sand. At that church I pastored, they had a great big naval nautical anchor out front. And man, I'm telling you, it was massive. That anchor had two outstretched hands. I mean, it reminded me of somebody else who had outstretched hands. Don't you get ahead of me right here. But that anchor would be let down by those big ships. And that anchor would go down into the ground and grab hold of that rock. Do you know what a boat without an anchor is? It is useless. Do you know what a church without an anchor is? It is useless. Do you know what a Christian without a Bible is? He is useless. But I'm glad in a day where things are going astray, in a day where we're seeing the falling away in the church of the living God, we're not falling away. Hey, we're gaining ground. There's more here this week than there was last week. And I know last week you was all out praying for the service. Amen. But I want to tell you, look around. There's just enough seats for us to get our friends and our neighbors in. There's just enough time for us to knock that wall down and watch God build the rise of a mighty church. How many believe God can still do it in this day and hour? Can I get an amen right there? Do you have an anchor? Well, the purpose of an anchor, it's to keep ships on course. Let me remind us that as we sail through the seas of life, there are going to be storms. Brother and sister Plemons, there's going to be hurting storms that you sailed through last week. But aren't you glad you could lift up your eyes and say, I know my Redeemer lives. Aren't you glad you can say that though my heart is broken and though I've said farewell, we've not said goodbye, but we'll see him in the morning. Isn't that wonderful? A ship and an anchor is to keep the ship's own course. But the purpose of an anchor, it's to settle the ships in the midst of the waves. I have bought a few boats in my time. My wife, I can see her rolling her eyes. I saw a boat sticking out from a tarp one time, had half a for sale sign on it. I said, let me turn around and investigate that. You had to have a $20 bill in your pocket if you took it out to the lake because you were going to get stranded in that boat. You had to have somebody to get you back to civilization. Hey, I was waving money. And my soul, have you ever been pulled back by one of them? Sure enough, I mean, we got payments on this boat and it's going womp, 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 womp. And there's a little old bitty boat back there with a family of five going, oh, here we are again. I want you to know that an anchor is to settle you in the midst of the storms. I remember going fishing with my daddy when I was just a little boy, and we'd go over there to Lake Wise. Some of them call it Weiss Lake. They're Yankees, amen. It's Lake Wise Lake. We'd go out there crappy fishing, and I'm telling you, we'd tie up under that bridge. And I remember one night as we were heading to the bridge, Daddy said, son, you get to set the anchor. Let it down slowly. All I heard was drop the anchor. And the anchor that we had was a redneck anchor. You ever seen a cinder block with a rope tied to it? I'm talking about that's how we fished. Amen. We didn't have Bass Pro back then. We had just figure it out, bro. That's what we had. And in that boat, we had a cinder block. He said, son, let it down slow. All I heard was I get to drop the anchor. Can I paint for you a picture? He said, when we're coming up, and I'm going to grab a hold of that beam right there, that beam that's holding the bridge up, and you drop the anchor. So we'd be right here on top of the fish. Man, that rope started going zzzz. I mean, it wasn't no time. All of a sudden, that anchor went down, down, and that rope zzzz. And you know what happens? Zzzz, right out of my hand, and down it went. He said, did you not hear me? I mean, the anchor went down and the rope went down and we passed it on, we drifted on by right there. Aren't you glad that you got somebody in charge of the anchor that's bigger than your preacher? Amen. He's not going to let us go astray. When times get rough and the waves get rocking, there is a fountain that's going to hold us in
place, an anchor. Well, notice that an anchor is not just to keep the ship's own course and to keep us settled, but an anchor is to keep the ships off the rocks. I'd read, church, about those old ships, how that when they came near to the shore, if they drifted too near, those rocks would bash and batter that ship. And because they had an anchor, they could let it down and hold their course. Aren't you glad when the waves of trouble come to our house? When fear begins to roll against us, we have an anchor this morning. I want to preach on, does your anchor hold? I want you to notice the anchor holds, number one, because of a promise. In verses 12 to 18, God made a promise to Abraham. Look at verse 12. He said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He said, don't be slothful. Y'all know what slothfulness is? I'm telling you, it's just laziness. It's pure laziness. And I know some lazy people in this world. But notice, he said, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Notice this morning that God made a pledge. He made a promise to Abraham. God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, like nobody has ever been blessed. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, I want to be blessed. God, bless me and bless Calvary Baptist Church. That's wonderful. There's nothing like being on the receiving end of His blessings. You want to be blessed? I'm going to tell you to take some of your time, your talent, and your treasure and shovel it to God. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I can do without that 10%. You can. It ain't going to kill you. You give 20% to that maid or that worker at Texas Roadhouse who's mean and gruff. He has no business working at the restaurant. Ought to be working at the gym as mean as he is. Ain't ever heard of bringing butter or bringing something like that. Listen, you trust God with your time, talent, and treasure, and watch God's shovel. It's bigger. He'll bless you abundantly that you can even imagine. God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you like nobody's business, and I'm going to give you some land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to multiply your seed as numerous as the stars of heaven. I'm going to multiply your family as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Have you been to the sea this year? Have you stood on that seashore and just been reminded that God made a promise to Abraham? I'm going to multiply your seed more than the sand of the sea. I want to remind the church this morning, yes, we have entered in some difficult days. Yes, we have seen the church transition from pastor to pastor. Thank God for that man of God that started this place years ago. Thank God for his son that stood in and was stalwart, and a mighty man of God that stood the test of time. There's been preachers who have fainted, preachers who have failed, but I'm glad for the preachers who've been faithful. Can I get a good easy amen right there? Listen, it's not about the preachers, it's about the one they're preaching about, and he has been faithful. God made a promise to Abraham, but God made a pledge to Abraham. Notice verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He's saying, here's what it means in good old Powder Springs language. He was dying to tell us that if I made a promise, I'm going to show you some things that are unchangeable. Just like my promise is unchangeable. Listen, politicians have made promises that have been broken. I hate this time of year because we've got this one slamming this one, and the presidential's coming up. Who are we going to vote for? I'm going to vote for the one that's the most biblical, if there is such a thing. I don't know if Washington can concede it. But I'm glad today to tell you that God could raise up a nobody. God could raise up a David. God could raise up a Joshua. I wish that children's home was here this morning. I'd preach on, could it be God is looking for one of you, a nobody that's been cast away and thrown away? Could it be that God would say, that's who I want to use? Could it be some child sitting here at Calvary Baptist is sitting here thinking, oh, I wish I could do what they do? God is in the business of calling and doing great and mighty things. Nod your little head like this. I want to tell you, Esther, in the book of Esther, she was just a little orphan girl that God said, I'm going to use for such a time as this. Joseph was hated by his brothers, but God said, I know they hate your guts and they hate me too, but I'm going to do something wonderful with you, Joseph. Daniel was thrown down into a Babylonian captivity, and yet Daniel was hated, but God said, Daniel, boy, I see something in you. I feel like preaching this morning. Amen. This is the point we ought to just stand and say, that's my God. Amen. I'm on the winning side. Amen. Let's just go on a little further. Wake up out there. I want you to notice he made a pledge to Abraham. He said, God said, verse 12, don't be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. He's saying, be like Abraham who waited faithfully for a son. Can you imagine? Can I pick on you, Brother Ceylon? Can you imagine Brother Ceylon and Mrs. Ceylon, and they haven't had a child, and as young and as whippersnappish as they are, can you imagine this being Abraham and Sarah? And God said, I'm going to give you a son. Year after year passed, and they're like, where is the announcement of this bouncing baby boy? And all of a sudden said, God's time has arrived. Listen, God said, I'm going to give you a promise. And he did. He said, Abraham, you're going to be a father of a mighty nation. That by two immutable things, that is the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, and one unchangeable promise. Mark it down, friend. Jesus at his crucifixion, he was the lamb that was coming. He was the lamb who would die. He was the lamb who would taste death for every man. And he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. It's a day in history that can never be changed. God set a date in history where the Son of God was crucified on a cross. And on that cross, he didn't die just a defeated death, but he won. He was the Lamb of God that came and overcame sin, and he overcame Satan. And man, I ought to be shouting and carrying on right now. Listen, I fight the devil all week. Can I call time out? Here's a commercial break. It's been hot as blazes. Lord, yesterday, Brother Allen, we stood out there and almost fainted, waiting on weary travelers to come in, put them in a brand new car. Amen. We're almost fainting. I mean, Red Bull ain't working. Water and Gatorade's not working. But I said, if you can get me to the church house, I'm going to pull up to the tank of faith. I'm going to gas up with high octane. I'm going to get me some from the fountain where the glory comes out. I'm going to look aside from Sister Gloom and Doom. I'm not going to worry about Brother Gloom and Despair. I'm going to the house of God, and I'm going to get me some F-A-I-T-H, and I'm going to go on another mile. Ain't we having fun right here? He said, listen, the crucifixion, it's an unchangeable day. It is the day that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. He purchased our pardon. But then there's the unchangeable day of the resurrection. Some call it Easter. Well, I call it Resurrection Sunday. I love having Resurrection Sunday. When you begin to pastor, don't you call it Easter Sunday? It's Resurrection Sunday. When you stand and tell people, thank God, it's not about the eggs, but it's about the one who created the eggs. Can I get a good amen right there? It's the one that hung the sun, the moon, and the stars, who came and kissed death for everyone, tasted death for every man, and he gloriously ascended back on high. Why, we preached last Sunday about how that he arose and went back on high, and there's nobody like him. Two immutable things, the day of his crucifixion and resurrection. God said, I made a promise and a pledge, and you can rest your soul in it. Thank God there's an anchor because of a promise. Number two, there's an anchor because of a place. Hold on to your seats, Calvary Baptist. The Holy Ghost may just hit the accelerator about right now. Notice in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. We used to sing a song, God said you're gonna make it. Well, God said you're gonna make it. Y'all ever sung that? God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it because the master's on board. They used to sing because the pastor's on board. We ought to get the pastor on board and the deacons. Can I get an amen right there? And notice that by two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for a refuge. You see those words, strong consolation? It means, beloved, we can take it to the bank. It means if God said it, you can mark it down. You can breathe easier. You can hold your heads up high because God said it and we believe it, and that settles it. Because our Savior has already died for our sins. He's already shed His blood on the cross. He's already rose up from the grave. He's already ascended up on high, and He's got the blood. He took that blood beyond the cross. He took it beyond the clouds. He entered into that holy of holies. That veil had been rent from the top to the bottom, and He's got the blood. He carried that blood into the holy of holies where only the high priest could go. He presented that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. You understand that tabernacle in the wilderness? It's an earthly description of what's in heaven. There's an exact replica of it in heaven. God was describing that you can't just march into the holy of holies without blood. God was saying it don't matter who you are, you're sinful, and there's only one ordained man, that's the high priest, who had the privilege of going in, and he was a sinful man, and they tied a rope around him and had bells on him. Can you imagine on that high day of atonement when they'd let that high priest go into the holy of holies? I believe a holy hush fell on that crowd because that priest was going in to lay blood on the mercy seat to cover their sins. Their sins of adultery, their sins of murder, their sins of backbiting and gossip. Well, I'll tell you, if I was Moses, here's what I'd have done about that. If I was Joshua, I wouldn't have done this. Or if I was Brian Busby or Ceylon Plemons, I'd tell you what I'd have done about it. I hope some of them got real nervous because God's man was going in to put blood over their sins. Can you imagine the day that Jesus, He's ascended up on high and He's got the blood. He's going where we couldn't go. He's going into that holy of holies. And He's going to put the blood on the mercy seat to wash away all of our sins. How wonderful that is. But He says a refuge. Who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I was reading this morning about an Olympian in the Japanese Olympics in 1976. He was sure to win the gold crown. But he broke his knee the day before in exercises. He was a guy that did grab the rings, you know, jump, grab the rings, and he'd do all this. And you know what? Y'all know what I'm talking about? He'd flip around, and he could still do it, but they said there's no way he can land. Well, the Olympic time came, and that man, I've got his name somewhere in my Bible. I read my Bible one time. He was doing all that, and boy, it was a stellar performance. I mean, it was a gold star performance. But the time came when he gave it this and gave it that. He had to do his dismount, and they knew when he landed, he was not going to be able to hold it. But he landed, and he writhed in pain, and he stood upright, and they cheered, and he got a perfect 10. They said, didn't it hurt? Didn't it hurt? He said, oh, the pain was like knives going through my body. Oh, but now the pain is gone and I have the gold. Jesus, didn't it hurt when they scourged you on that Roman stake there? Didn't it hurt when they nailed your hands and feet? He'd say, why, yes, I'm going to tell you, beloved, it hurt when they drove that first nail in. I thought I'd jump out of my skin, and they drove that second nail. Then they put my feet together and drove that third nail, and it hit arteries and nerves, and like razor knives ran through my body. There was pain now, but there's praise now. Amen. It did cause pain, but there's praise coming in the morning. So you see, we have a promise. We have a place. It speaks, the refuge speaks of a city. Did you know, church, in the Old Testament, God gave to the Levites 48 cities. Who were the Levites? They were God's preachers or God's priests. And the job of the priest was to tend to the tabernacle. You understand that this is not just anybody's business. We had a fella up in North Georgia. His name was Brother Larry. Brother Larry had been married a few times, and he'd come in on Wednesday night. He'd come in late. I mean, just old country boy. He'd say, "Brother Haney, pray for my ex-family." And I'm like, "Your ex-family? They're still family. Pray for my ex-family." And we'd pray for her. He'd say, "Brother Haney, pray for Bertha. I just dropped her off at the emergency room." I said, "Brother Larry, shouldn't you be with her right now?" "Oh, she's okay. She's got doctors. I thought I'd come to church." He's faithful. Brother Larry wanted to defend his preacher. There's trouble in that church. And I mean, they come out with guns and knives after I was voted in, like a bunch of thieves, saying, "We're going to get him. We're going to get him. And Brother Larry said, "I'll take care of him. I'm going to the deacon's meeting." I said, "You can't be the deacon, Larry. You're not ordained. I don't care. You're my preacher." He wanted to be there. You understand, there are some things that are designated in the church. Y'all understand? Not everybody gets to control the money. Not everybody gets to control this and that. Listen, God sets people. Them priests that God had given 48 cities, they were over the tabernacle. And you know what God did for when they got in a fight? God took out of those 48 cities and made 6 cities places of refuge. There was 3 cities on this side of Jordan and 3 cities on that side. And what happened was, if you accidentally murdered somebody, can you imagine, honey, how's your day? I accidentally murdered somebody. You did what? Yeah, I was chopping wood in the Old Testament, and there was a real story, and I was chopping. And then when I'd rear back, he'd chop. And when I'd go forward, he'd rear back. And my axe blade slipped off, slit his jugular cord. Honey, he dropped like a rag. His brother and daddy was right down the road and said, "You killed my brother. We're going to get you." I took off running, honey, and I ran. Where'd you run to? I ran to the city of refuge. Can you see that man? He didn't mean to kill him. That man's innocent, but he's been proven guilty in their eyes. "If we're going to kill you, boy," he's running for his life. And he sees that refuge just up ahead. He sees the gates of the city, and he thinks, "If I can just get inside the gates, if I can just make it inside that city, I'd be safe." And he makes it, and I mean, they're breathing down his neck, and he steps over inside the city. It's a city of refuge. You say, "Boy, wouldn't that be good when we get in trouble? A city of refuge." Well, I hate to tell you, but there are no cities of refuge that we can run to down here. You and I have been convicted of murder in the first degree. You say, "How's that?" Our sins caused Jesus, the Son of God, to die. Our sins were laid upon him. And you say, "Well, I didn't mean to kill anybody." Sure you didn't. Your sins were laid on him, and he had to die. He had to die to make it right. And now the judgment of God is on our trail. The judgment of God declares all have sinned. The judgment of God declares the wages of sin is death. You and I are running, not from the sheriff, not from Roscoe Pico train. We're running from the wrath of Almighty God. And there's not a place in Powder Springs or Carrollton or Bowden or Atlanta, but there is a place. And you say, "How did they find those cities of refuge?" They weren't hard to spot. They were located up high on top of a mountain. They were located on the tops of mountain. That way you could see them and you know where to run to. Can I tell you today that Calvary is our city of refuge? It was located up on top of a mountain and you're to flee from the wrath of God. And if you haven't gone to Calvary by faith, you're lost and the judgment of God is chasing you. And the wages of sin is death. You're going to die and go to hell. And the only hope you got is like that man. If you can escape the wrath of God and make it up to the hill of Calvary and realize that on the cross Christ died for your sins, step into God's presence as a child that's called on Him for forgiveness, you're redeemed. You're safe from the devil. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Have you done that? This refuge has ties to Calvary. Is there a place we could hide from God? No. Is there a mountain or cave we could hide so that God could not see us? No. There is a place on Calvary, not hard to find, where the darling Son of God took our sins to the cross and holy blood began to flow. Can I ask you today, are you troubled? Does God's breath of judgment lay heavy on you? There's a young man here who's never been saved. There's a young woman here, you've never been saved. I remember as a young man feeling lost, feeling the hand of judgment on me. I didn't want to die and go to hell. I wanted somebody to rescue me. And little did I know, there was Jesus willing to save. Let me give you the last one. Notice that we have an anchor that holds because of a promise, because of a place, but because of a person. Look at verse 19 and 20. Which hope we have, I'm glad we have hope, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner. He ain't talking about a Nissan or a Toyota. He's talking about the Son of God. Whither the forerunner. What do you drive? I drive a Pathfinder or I drive a ram. Amen. It wasn't a Chevy or a Ford coming up the mountain when Abraham sacrificed Isaac. It was a ram. Say amen right there. Caught in the thicket. You say it was spinning its wheels. No, it was just hovering, waiting on God to come by and sacrifice that ram. He said, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. We see what his purpose was. The forerunner. Listen, you know what a forerunner is? That's Jesus. He is the shepherd of the sheep, the captain of the ship. He's the one that gives orders, and he's the one that guides the ship. He's not just captain, but he's also the forerunner. You see the seas that were sailing, they're full of sin, and they're full of Satan, and they'll drown us, and they'll kill us. But thank God, Jesus is the forerunner. And that word forerunner means someone who runs before. It means to go before. And do you know what the job of a forerunner? He's on a ship, and that ship is sailing through the seas, and they've done pulled up anchor, and they're headed into port. And then when they get so close, those ports, if you've ever been down to Panama City and see those little inlets, there's rocks right here and rocks right here that's leading into that safe and calm harbor. Them ships that hit the rocks on either side, they get so close and they drop an anchor. And then the forerunner, who's the strongest swimmer on the board. I like swimming. Does anybody like swimming? I'm telling you, when it's hot, just cool down. And do you know who the strongest one on the ship is? His name is Jesus. He's the strongest and the best swimmer. He's not in danger of drowning. Here's what that ship would do. They'd anchor, and those souls were held in the balance. And that anchor would tie a rope around himself that was hooked to the ship. He would dive off into the sea. Can you see him? He's got the rope tied around him, got the rope in his mouth, and he's swimming. He's swimming in between that harmonious sea right there. Rocks over here, rocks over there, and he swims up to the shore. He climbs up out of the waters, walks up out of the waves. He looks around for the strongest tree or the strongest rock. He takes that rope and he runs it around that tree. And that tree's not going to break. That rock's not going to falter. And from there, he begins to draw in that ship by faith. Aren't you glad, Jesus? He's gone up into heaven. He's already anchored our soul in the cleft of the rock. He's anchored our soul to the throne of glory. Good preaching right there, son. Let her rip. He's pulling the ship of Zion And she's going through rocky waters, and he's pulling us in. I want you to know that somebody better than a swimmer, somebody better that tied a rope to nothing. Listen, Jesus went where we couldn't go. He swam into the waters of death for you and I. He took his blood in the cross. He went up into the third heaven, and he's anchored our soul in a place that cannot be destroyed. There's no chance of the wind breaking that cross. He's anchored our soul to the throne of heaven, and he's slowly bringing us in. Bringing us in. Have you anchored your soul in the anchor of Jesus? Aren't you glad, church? Yes, sometimes we wonder, Lord, we ain't making any ground right here, but he's slowly. Be not slothful, but be faithful and patient. He's still bringing us closer. Let me ask you today, have you got hope? Have you got hope? If you don't have hope, you can have hope. Let me ask you, do you have an anchor of the soul? If you died right now, is that anchor going to pull you up into heaven? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you could have hope and you could have an anchor. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Aren't you glad this Bible can lift us up when we're down? Aren't you glad this Bible has healing for the broken? It has the ability to turn ashes into beauty. Maybe this morning your life is a wreck. Maybe you're going down and you can't see any way out of it. I challenge you, child of God, make your way to an altar and say, Lord, I've looked in every direction, but I'm looking to you. My heart has been broken. My life is a mess, but only you can put it together again. Would you just stand up right now, all over the house? Would you stand all over the house, heads bowed and eyes closed? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved, but you'd like to give your life to the one who purchased your redemption at Calvary. Maybe you're here and you just want to be saved. Come to the city of refuge, which is Calvary. I'll stand right here and pray with you. Others will be glad to pray with you. While I pray, if you need to come to Jesus for any reason, you come while I pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. You thrilled my soul. God, to read about Abraham who was given a promise, and you couldn't wait to prove to him you was not going to break that promise. I know that just like Abraham, he wondered, had questions. He didn't have the answers to finding that city whose builder and maker is God. Maybe there's someone here that's got more questions than answers. I pray you'd give them faith to step out and come to an altar and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? For that one that's here and lost and they've never been saved, would you draw them to come to the Father that they might be saved? Get glory and honor in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. While these are coming and others have come, do you need something this morning? Why don't you come? Young people, why don't you come and say, I'm giving my whole life to Jesus. While they sing, you obey the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live.
Sing with him.
I surrender all. I surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow. Forsaken, take me, Jesus. Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. I would like to ask if everyone that will, Miss Claudia, do you feel like making it down to the front row? And if you can just come down here, Brother Jeff, you'll help her and just let her have a seat on the front row. And I want to ask everyone that will this morning to come around. And let's pray for Miss Claudia. She has surgery on Tuesday morning at Kennistone. And she'll have to be there very early on Tuesday morning. And there's a few days between now and then. And we just pray the Lord would give her that she needs, and pray that the Lord would just comfort her. She's gone through a lot of struggles as of late, and we just want to ask the Lord to be with her in a very powerful way today. Thank you, church, for coming. And we just want to surround her in love and surround her with prayer and ask God to do a miracle in her life. The Lord knows exactly what she stands in need of. Pray that the doctors would be guided by the Holy Spirit and the Lord would just touch her in a very special way. Brother Jeff, while you're there, would you take us this morning to the Lord in a word of prayer on Miss Claudia's behalf? Praise the Lord. Brother Brian Haney, on behalf of the church, we want to thank you for coming and being faithful to preach the Word of God. You've been with us a few times now, and each time we felt the movement of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness to preach His Word. We'll be in prayer for you. You be in prayer for us as we seek the Lord's will. If you, church, would turn around and tell someone it's been good to have seen them in the house of the Lord, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless you all.